We're on a mission to change the industry from interviews to conversations. On average, applicants are interviewing within a minute, 28 seconds of applying. We eliminated the need for scheduling altogether.
Yeah.
My purpose for this company is to show as many people in the world that they matter as possible.
Welcome to Future Work, the podcast about a happier future of work and the role of people and technology within that. In today's episode, we meet Amber Warner, the founder of Vet, who's using AI to make recruiting more human. We'll discuss how Amber's methods provide instant, meaningful conversations, not just interviews, often with people in similar roles who may be better suited than a recruiter. I love Amber's mission of making people feel they matter and the unique ways they've done this. So let's dive in. Hybrid work is here to stay, but are you making the most of it? Join us on July 8th for the Hybrid Work Dilemma. Learn how to do more with less office space while increasing productivity, collaboration, and employee engagement. Hear from three Future Work Podcast alumni, Agathe's Corinne Murray, Stanford University's Nick Bloom, the world's leading hybrid work expert, and Janet Pogue-McLaurin, the Global Director of Workplace Research at Gensler, one of the most prominent workplace design firms. And this is not just another webinar. It's a chance to get inspired and connect with peers in a live roundtable to tackle your hybrid work challenges. Thanks to Tectic, the number one rated space logistics platform used by customers like Microsoft, Red Bull, and the United Nations for making this event possible. Sign up now at flexos.org/hybrid2024. flexos.org/hybrid2024. Don't miss out.
Amber, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, this is great. From Vietnam to Boise, Idaho, couldn't be two much more different places in the world. And very excited to talk about all things recruiting and AI and humans today. So I came across through the PeopleGPT community. I was putting together a top 40 of AI in HR companies. And then someone suggested looking into you, checked it out, and then realized that, like, hey, there's something really interesting here. Can you share a little bit about Vette, your platform? How does it work? What does it do? And where does it fit in?
Yeah, absolutely. So Vette is it's actually a gig platform. So we offer an applicant an interview as soon as they apply to a company's job. Right at that moment of intent, right when they're expressing interest, we offer them to be able to speak to a human within seconds of them applying. And so we're working within the high volume, high turnover industry sector, and we're helping companies with retention and really understanding their applicant.
So how does that work? Because I saw a couple of screenshots and that seems almost too magical that I apply for a job and I get a message and it says, hey, someone is ready to interview you right now, which is about 2 to 3 weeks faster than any normal recruiting process. So how do you have people ready to interview someone? Like, how do they know what questions to ask? Like, how does it work on that side?
So we are actually on a mission to change the industry from interviews to conversations. We found after launching the platform that, so our vetters are gig workers and they are our neighbors. They're stay-at-home moms, retirees, military veterans. They also could be companies' existing employees. So we can get to that in a little bit, but it's a conversation. It's a scripted conversation that we're able to really just understand the applicant, what matters to them, and the data takes care of the rest. So it's a data-driven conversation led by a human, essentially.
That's amazing. Amazing that you are able to also provide opportunities for those groups of people who may be not able to go into an office as more companies now are moving back into the office. That sounds really interesting. So how does that scripted conversation work? Like, what do they get some prompts that they study? And is it dependent on the role that they're hiring for? Meaning that do you have to retrain those gig workers every time they start interviewing or start hiring for a new role? How's that work?
Yeah. So the way the process works is an applicant will apply to a company's job, whether it's through a job board or through the ATS. And the moment that the applicant applies to the job, they get a text message saying, hey, I saw you apply to this job. We have someone who can talk to you right now. Would you like to talk?
And the candidate is like, wait, what?
Yeah. And originally when I first started the company, I was like, will applicants like respond? One, and two, will they want to interview right away? And so I started testing it out manually when I first started the company, and the responses started coming in like, wow, this is so fast. I can't believe how fast this is. Yeah. And on average, applicants are interviewing within a minute, 28 seconds of applying. We've actually eliminated the need for scheduling altogether.
Yeah.
So they have the interview now link right in their text, so they can get to it whenever they're available. So data measuring a heat map of the times of day that applicants, you know, want to interview. But as soon as the applicant hits interview now, it searches who's online, just like Uber would, and it matches them up with a vetter who's online. And the vetter accepts it and the script pops right up on the vetter's platform. And so, like I said, it's a conversation. So it's really what we really want to get to from changing it from interviews to conversations is kind of storytelling the applicant and really getting to the meat of what, you know, the applicant truly needs to be happy. And so companies can use that to retain them. And so we found that they're confiding in strangers. And so they're saying how much they actually really need and what the shift preferences. And so we're able to use that data to say, okay, well, the company is not offering that, so it's not a fit, you know, for what the applicant needs. And so it's the data that's actually suggesting if the applicants are a fit or not.
That's incredible. So intriguing. And so how do you find the people? How do you find the vetters? Because you have to recruit those somehow as well.
Yeah. So it's all been word of mouth. And originally, when I first started, I would recruit all of my Uber drivers. That was like my way. I'm like, hey, do you want to make some extra money in your free time? But no, as the platform started to advance and get more sophisticated, we started just having existing vetters referring other vetters. And so we're tracking the referral source, and it's all, you know, existing vetter or heard about it from someone. And now we recently released something called Vet Marketplace, where companies could actually utilize their internal employees to be the vetters in their off hours.
That makes total sense. So that's kind of what I was wondering, like, is this at the end of the day really a platform play, or is it also something where you could just offer it up to companies, again, really more from the software side? So it sounds like you're kind of betting on both sides, both the gig worker side and the platform software side.
Yeah, so that's the cool part, is that we're scaling humans, you know, essentially. Like we're utilizing humans, and we're working with humans and utilizing technology to scale it. But what we started finding was that companies' employees started applying to be vetters on our platform. And so we were like, this is interesting. And we started seeing that this actually, the data that we're collecting of what applicants are saying that they need to stay at a company, or why they left their last company, is because they don't have enough shifts and they can't pay their bills. And so this is something that companies can offer them to make some extra money in their free time by being a gig worker on the platform for their own company.
Yeah, that's incredible. There really are a lot of analogies with Uber. You may be the first startup that actually is making the Uber for X work. It actually works. And then, so how do they capture the vetters? Like, how do they capture the information that they're getting back? Because obviously there's a lot of skill in doing interviews really well. So how do you train them for that? And then how do they process the information that they're getting? Or is that just recorded and it's done by the system on the back end?
Yeah, so that's actually where we use AI. So we're taking those conversations and we're summarizing the conversation. We're pulling out data from it. So really the vetter's purpose is just to show this person that they matter. To really just be that one voice on the other line, you know, showing this person who maybe is scared that they may not get a job, or, you know, it's giving them hope. And so the vetter's purpose is just to be that warm voice, where the conversation, we're pulling in data and information out of the conversation along the way. And so we're using AI to summarize it. And, you know, we can pull out different, we're really big on words. So someone saying I love, or I'm passionate about, you know, we can pull out what this person really enjoys doing and sentiment analysis through it as well.
That's so interesting. But there must be some people who are really good at that. If you think about on the vetter side, there must be some people who get a lot out of the candidate and maybe some people who are like slightly less versed. So do you over time then also optimize for, you know, who is getting those really great outputs versus maybe people who just don't really fit with the platform, just like how on Uber, you would have some kind of rating system, there is some feedback loop on who is right. And then do you make decisions based on that?
Yes, we do have a rating system. So after the conversation is done with the applicant, the applicant gets a text asking how their experience was. So they're able to rate them. But what we actually found is it's really interesting when, say, a warehouse worker is talking to another warehouse worker, or someone that they can kind of relate to, the conversation flows better rather than it being, you know, someone who's a corporate person talking to a warehouse worker. So we find that the vetters that can relate to the applicants are really able to pull more out of the conversation because the applicant feels safe, more safe and more comfortable. So it's almost like an equilibrium, you know, the applicant feels with this vetter that is similar to them.
This may be just one of the most interesting uses of technology plus humans that I've heard, because I could totally imagine that, yeah, if you speak to someone who has done that job or was doing that job, the conversation is totally different and you can actually get into the details, which is typically what a recruiter wouldn't be able to do, right? They wouldn't really know in depth what the role was like, so you wouldn't have that same sense of connection. That's super interesting. So how's the candidate's feedback? Like, how do they feel when they connect with someone like that? Because again, that interview experience compared to what they would be experiencing with other companies where there's a more traditional recruiting process would be night and day.
Yeah, so the applicants love it because for a couple of different reasons. One, they could interview sometimes at 1 a.m. when they're getting off their shift. You know, 24/7, they're able to talk to someone. And so the feedback is very positive that they don't need to schedule. They can do it when they are ready. Like they literally just hit a button and they're able to speak to a human. And that what this also allows is for the companies to capture the applicants as soon as, again, are, okay, I'm ready to look for a new job. So whoever gets that applicant first shows them that they matter. They're the ones that are going to get the applicant. And so the second thing is that a while back, I was talking to an investor and they said to me, what are you going to do when AI comes out and starts sounding like a human, which now we know GPT, you know, 4 recently came out. Yeah. And like, I'm not going to lie, I stayed up for like 4 nights or like researching like the human brain and like what the difference is between AI and human. And I was listening and studying these conversations because we record all the conversations.
Yeah.
And what we started finding is that humans have, one, a why, but also humans have memories that they can then kind of tap into. They have relatability that allows a person to feel safe and comfortable and trust is built. Whereas with AI, well, I'll give you an example. There was someone who was from New Jersey and they were like, oh, you know, did you grow up going to the Bridgewater Commons Mall? I went there with my grandparents growing up. And that like relatability allows the person, like it's almost like the rapport is built. Whereas with AI, and I listened to the GPT-4 and, you know, it can be funny and everything like that. But the moment that the warehouse worker or the security guard realizes that they're not talking to a human or, you know, it just isn't the same emotional connection that they have with talking to a real human.
Yeah. And like you said, it's exactly that point of even AI could mimic and could say all these facts about New Jersey, but the person would know that they didn't grow up there. Like they would know that they didn't have grandparents who are from there. And so that's obviously the big difference, right? A real human is a real human and will always be a real human. And probably the one place where it may be worth still investing in humans is in that realm of where it's really about that human connection, where there's actually a premium for being with that human. So that obviously leads to the question, where does this sit in the landscape? Because you do now have platforms out there, and I've spoken to Sapia and Eightfold on this season, and I just interviewed David from PeopleGPT Juicebox. You know, there's a lot of platforms out there that all in their own way bring AI to recruiting. And some of that is much more in an automated way where no human is involved and therefore it scales infinitely, right? So when you go and pitch this, are you being compared against those solutions? There must be a higher cost. So how do you justify that? And then how do you also keep the customers happy as they start using the platform?
Yeah, so we really want to make sure that we're narrowing the funnel of applicants that actually get to, you know, the conversation. We don't want to waste the applicant's time. We don't want to waste the company's time or money. And so we do use AI in the SMS communication. So if someone asks a question like, what is the, you know, the hourly rate, and they can almost self-disqualify themselves in that SMS. They also have knockouts that companies could add before they speak to the human. As a business, our goal is not to necessarily get more conversations. It's the right conversations. It's the right applicants through the funnel to get the conversations that, you know, that are closest to the fit. And so what we're also doing is we're taking the interview data and we're saying, okay, based on these are all the things that match up what you express that you're looking for. And so we can get more accurate with who is actually getting to the company. And so fixed cost is obviously paying the vetters. So we have ways that companies could scale up and down based on their, you know, their needs and their the cost. So it doesn't necessarily cost more. We did find that companies are having to interview less applicants per hire because they're getting the right ones.
Yeah, so compared to a traditional recruiting, for sure, it would be more affordable, right? It could definitely be more affordable. But going against a complete total AI platform, there would be a premium. And I'm just curious about that because you were just mentioning how you're really looking at this as a solution for high hiring, high turnover roles. Is that role where that the company wants to make that investment?
Yeah, I mean, we had a company that saved 92% of their recruiting cost by using the recruiting and tech cost. We have packages that are, you know, it starts off with basic, but it all is based on engagements of applicants and whether it's the touch points of the SMS, whether it's the knockouts or the conversation. It really comes down to getting that quality applicant through the funnel.
Yeah, super interesting. I mean, I'm just really thinking about, you know, where does that sit compared to other platforms and the traditional approach? And I'm sure you have to explain a lot because it's still pretty early days for this approach. What is the conversation like when you're trying to sell this into a company? Are people ready for it? Is there still a lot of education required? Yeah, how does that work?
So we do have a free trial that companies are able to kind of test it out to see how it works initially. But what we found was when they start seeing the results, we have an automation into any ATS pretty much. So from the top of the funnel, so as soon as the applicant applies, you know, we're able to actually put data back into the ATS, update the status and move it through the hiring process. So it works within the ATSs, but we have found that some companies, you know, they've been able to reduce their ad spend and some of their, you know, some line items by using that.
So they can do self-sign-up, they can try it out, and they can see the benefit and then start really using the platform. And one other thing you mentioned is that applicants really like it because they can talk to people whenever they are ready, which I think is, again, a great service to the applicants. It's such a great first impression if you're applying for a role. Comparing that to a traditional recruiting, I think that's like night and day. Are you then seeing that people are actually having those conversations at very different times than what companies normally would think, right? Because normally you're just trying to fit them into a typical 9-to-5 schedule with maybe the groups that you mentioned that may not be the right time for them. What's that data telling you?
Yeah, so 48.5% of applicants are interviewing off hours. So outside of the Monday
Almost
through
half.
Friday. Yeah, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5. So between weekends and nights, you know, like I said, we have some interviews going off, you know, 9 p.m., 1 a.m., 5 a.m. It ranges all over. And because our vendors are located across the U.S. and eventually, you know, across the world, they could also request their interview and or their conversation in a different language, too.
So
we're able to meet the applicant right where they are. And like I said, I think that one of the biggest, you know, advantages is that when you really think about it, what are the humans responding to? So if it's AI alone, there's really not a whole lot of just accountability for that applicant to show up, you know, whereas
totally.
When they talk to a human, they feel more emotionally connected and,
for sure.
You know,
it's super interesting. I think the really interesting thing here is that it just turns the whole thing on its head. I think this is like as I'm listening to you, right? It just turns the whole thing on its head. So normally the candidate really fits to what the company wants, right? In terms of when to interview and in which language and how. And now that you're giving people choice, like the data is actually telling you that for half of the people, they would rather speak at a time outside of normal office hours. So you just see like how the current process actually is completely not fitting with the expectations, which then again, I'm just really thinking about that experience, because everyone applies for multiple roles at the same time. If you have that experience with one company versus another company where you just go into the maybe 2 to 3 weeks before someone reaches out and then you're trying to do the scheduling game and all that, just as a candidate experience and as an employer brand initiative and as what I would tell other people about that company, that just seems like an incredible competitive advantage as a company.
Yeah, and not only that, like, again, we're talking about hourly workers. So these are people who they are scared that they're not going to be able to afford their rent this month if they don't get a job. And so time literally is of the essence for them to be able to move forward in the process in order to provide for themselves. Like,
yeah,
that's why, you know, the data, when we're pulling, we ask a question in one of the, in the conversation that says, why did you leave your last job? And what could they have done to make you stay? And what do you need in the next company? And the two most common responses are, one, they don't have enough shifts at the last job, and so therefore they can't pay their bills. And so those are the two main factors. We know our data, we know why companies are leaving or applicants are leaving companies' jobs. Like these applicants are telling us right from their mouth why they're leaving, you know, these companies, these large organizations. Like we have all the data of why these people are leaving, and because they can't pay their bills, their basic needs. You know, the cost of living is really high, and you know, at $20 an hour, it's really sad, but that's the reality. And so, you know, the companies that are now with our platform are creating gig work inside of their organization where they could use a warehouse worker to interview an applicant applying for a warehouse job and provide an additional, you know, source of income for them. You know, these companies are showing that they care, and it's putting money back into their employees, essentially.
Yeah, it seems like a win-win-win-win. Any downsides to this platform, this approach?
No, I don't know if you're
familiar. No, no, says the CEO. Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with something called Pareto improvement, but companies right now are trying to create efficiencies, right? But that means that someone is going to lose something. And so with Pareto improvement, it's utilizing your existing resources to grow your business. And that's what, you know, this platform offers these companies to do.
Another really hot topic in this space is bias, right? Especially when you're working with AI and when you're working with AI plus humans, there's always risk that bias creeps in how the model that you're using is trained or how certain selections are made by the AI. How do you make sure that in that process of trying to get the right candidates to the right role, that bias doesn't creep in or as little as possible?
We're relying on job descriptions that literally are from, I don't know, the 90s, probably
yes,
even
yes.
Way before that.
A couple decades old.
Yeah. And so we're having a hiring manager go through that. And we're taking what the hiring manager is saying that they can offer, and we're matching it to what the applicant is saying that they need. And so we're able to use real data to say, okay, this person needs this, and this is what the company is offering. If it's not aligned, it's not a fit. So there's no bias in the sense that it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't know if you'd be right for the job. And again, we're talking about hourly jobs, like these high turnover, high volume, you know, jobs that companies are hiring for. Why is it high turnover? It's high turnover because we're not listening to what the applicant needs or the hiring manager. It's not just high turnover in the applicants, it's also high turnover in hiring managers, the line managers and the operations, you know, people on the floor. And so when both parties feel heard and we can align, you know, what they need versus what they're offering, then that's where, you know, there isn't a bias. It's literally based on data and what this person said straight from their mouth.
Yeah. Super, super interesting.
Because when someone's interviewing with a recruiter, they're interviewing with someone at the company, they kind of tend to say what they think they want to hear.
Yes.
And that is really cool because it's talking to a stranger. It's like telling this person, okay, this is what I need. And it's a conversation. It's not an interview. It's not a, you know, tell me a time where you had to do blah, blah, blah. It's like,
yes, painful.
So, you know, again, it's storytelling. It's the conversation is consistent, and it's storytelling of, so what did you like to do when, you know, as a kid, when you're younger, what made you happy? And you can start to understand like what this person really enjoys and, you know, leading up to where they are to, you know, today and where they want to go. You know, you get a lot of information when you ask a question, and then you kind of just listen.
And again, especially when it's someone that you feel that immediate connection with because, you know, they come in on your schedule and they speak your language and they may have a background in that role. There's just much more of a connection there. I really sense from the way you're speaking about this that you're very passionate, especially about that human side. Maybe can you share a little bit as we're getting to the end about why did you start this business and, you know, like what keeps you going?
Oh, yeah. My purpose for this company is a couple things. One is to show as many people in the world that they matter as possible. Just so happen to be doing it through interviews and helping businesses, you know, grow with, you know, with this platform. But I want to, you know, one day going to another country where people are slaving away at like, say, a call center or whatever, and say, you don't need to be there doing, you know, that work. You can go home and be with your family. Go online when you want to work, offline when you don't. You know, it's gig work for tasks that businesses, you know, are outsourcing right now. You know, we've started in interviews, but there's, you know, we have companies who are using that for other things, like after hours answering, and you know, really utilizing the vetters to perform these tasks, and you know, that they're otherwise, you know, outsourcing. And so to really provide options for people in even, you know, marginalized communities, and to I want this platform to live far beyond me. You know, this is bigger than, I know it sounds crazy, but this is bigger than myself. And I want people, you know, stay-at-home moms and people who maybe didn't have the easiest life to have options to be able to provide for themselves. The motivation. And I listen to these vets, because again, they're all recorded. And yes. I hear the, you know, what happens in these calls, the hope that these people have when talking to another human being, you know.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing the story. Thanks so much for being on. Really appreciate it. Loved learning more about it, and especially now hearing at the end that mission behind it and making people feel that they matter, which I think is very lacking in recruiting and generally in life. It's really amazing. So thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us today as we explored the innovative recruitment techniques with Amber Warner from Vets. Here are actionable takeaways from the conversation. Number one, making people feel valued. Amber said her purpose is to show as many people in the world that they matter. Recruitment can feel like a plight, but try to re-energize your process to emphasize human connection. Number two, instant interviews. When you let people choose when to interview, as Vet does, you see that people choose to interview much faster than the usual process, and over 50% of the time outside of office hours. Does your current recruitment process support this? Number three, from interviews to conversations. Amber is dedicated to transforming hiring from traditional interviews to real conversations. She believes in allowing colleagues and individuals familiar with the role to interact with candidates rather than relying on recruiters with limited knowledge of the position. She said, "A warehouse worker talking to another worker flows better, allowing for a safer and more comfortable environment." And the last one, using AI purposefully. Amber found great ways to apply AI in places where it complements the human touch. For example, by matching candidates and interviewers, like Uber does riders and drivers. They also use AI to summarize conversations and extract key data points. If you're looking for ways to implement AI, this is a great place to start. Join me again next week when I interview Ashley Hurd, the founder of Manager Method, who trains emerging leaders and has over 5 million monthly views on TikTok. If you like this episode, please hit subscribe and give us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us a ton to boost our mission of a happier future of work. To be the first one to get updates on new episodes, subscribe at flexos.org/futurework.